Okay, here. You got Jill, got Caitlin. The band's
look
back together.
What the cat dragged in.
Hey. how you doing, Caitlin?
Good, thank you. How are you guys?
Good, good.
Living. L-I-V-I-N.
There you go. See, that's why we started a company. We do that a lot, actually. We had the same top four of Curaçao. I mean, how coincidental. Yeah.
Destiny.
It really was. So we had the legendary Caitlin Kuwald, who I couldn't believe when I looked this up. I first talked to you 8 years ago. I can't believe that.
Oh, wow.
I know. And
misty watercolored memories. I know. Sweet.
It was a long, so I mean, I've been a fan. I mean, a long, long time, obviously before that. And we had a great conversation back then. I remember we talked about your process. Mm-hmm. I still remember, I think you said your favorite work was always your last one, which means ours is pretty high on that list right now.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I also insulted Bob Dylan.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you know, he never plays what we want, so you know, it's okay.
Listen, I think he can take it. And,
I think so too.
He's got a Nobel Prize. He's fine.
He's totally fine.
But Caitlin, so if people don't know, we at Sin and Journeys have been working on this really for nearly 2 years. And we started talking to Caitlin around November, December-ish. And we did hire you, I think, when your work cleared up for the illustration, which you're sitting in front of, literally, you're in you're in that little cartoon illustration. It's not a cartoon, I shouldn't say that.
But it's though.
A little
in
bit.
In a way.
It's like a... Yeah. It's like Looney Tunes, Wile E. Coyote background.
It does kind of have that vibe, which I love.
Like, I'll take it. Those illustrations are amazing.
Now, Caitlin, copyright notwithstanding, can you draw the Roadrunner in it? I'm kidding.
Yeah, sure.
Just give him a really jacked up face. Like those, you know, like those, like, you know, sketchy Mickey Mouse shirts that you buy way, 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 way far away from Disneyland, like on a street corner.
The Florida Project ones. Need.
Knockoffs, yeah.
Yeah, you need it. We need a total sketchy knockoff Roadrunner there.
Yeah, that's our next project. We're going to do off Disney. But we hired, well, actually, we were just talking about this before we start recording, but, you know, initially you were resistant because you weren't sure if you were the right fit, which I think is fantastic. If you think that you might not be able to deliver what we want, you know, being transparent up front is about that. Of course, we didn't like hearing that. We were like, oh, no, Caitlin doesn't. And then we started thinking about it. I was like, no, she doesn't know. But we got to let her know what this is really about. And it turned out you were the perfect fit. We have a beautiful website. I don't know how much you've clicked around it yet, but it's only been up there for a week or two. Do you like the sky theme?
Yeah, I think it looks...
I made that.
I mean, it looks excellent.
I
made the top part. Yeah.
And something that I want to let our... and I've talked to you about this, Caitlin, in our many conversations when we were planning all of this out, but just people listening to this, it really takes a, you know, it's one thing to be able to draw, right, and to create an image, but it's another skill to interpret what a moron like me is saying they want, you know? So we were sitting there and we were trying to describe this concept that we both had. And yeah, we gave you like, okay, we're thinking John Ford, we're thinking this, we're thinking Monument Valley, but like not able to really think past those screenshots that we're sending you. Like it's like a very tangible thing, but what we need is not that, right? It needs to be bigger than that and more immersive, but also embody the branding embody like the concept of Sin and Journeys, right?
Right.
So the fact that you're able to not just draw, but to take these, how I'm explaining myself right now, which is that
no, where you're great.
where you are able to interpret the ramblings of a mad person and turn it into something that is It's like you hopped into our brain and we're like, yeah, okay, this is weird in here, but all right, I'm gonna make it happen. So that really is a different level, skill level that I think a lot of artists don't have. So Caitlin's awesome, and she was able to bring this idea to life and make it better than we ever imagined. So that's kind of the cool, cool thing about this little partnership.
And just to interject, so in case John Ford's lawyers are listening, I
Oh
mean,
God.
really, we were looking for, I mean, Monument Valley is not just John Ford, although he's most widely known, but we were looking for some sort of visual representation that would be that would resonate with film people. So a lot of film people have seen Monument Valley,
I mean,
especially
John
in,
Ford doesn't own
yeah.
Monument
He
Valley,
does
so
not,
he
No,
does
you're right.
not.
He does not. He does. And we did not. John Ford is not in our not in our art. But Caitlin, if you, as you remember, you called us art directors. In even in the contracts, they're like, "Hey, art directors, Jill and Aaron." And I was like, And I thought that was
But that's
just.
who you are. There
I
was a
thought you were
lot of
just buttering
like
us up.
monocle. We were wearing some monocles,
Every other art director I've worked for has worn a monocle, so you guys might want to think about getting one.
I mean, the
But
problem
you,
is I need both of these. And so it's like, what
yeah.
happens when you put two
Can you put a
monocles
monocle
together?
on in front of your glasses?
So are two monocles actually a pair of glasses? Is that what that is? Or can you have just two, the little chain? And they're like, why aren't you wearing glasses? And you're like, I just really like the monocle look. Come on.
I'm extremely sophisticated.
That's what
That's
I'm
why.
saying. I've got to up my game. But no, that was kind of, and so when you put it that way, it's like, oh, I guess we are art directors, damn it. Look at us.
Well, in the throughout the process, we thought that was just window dressing, which is what you call. I mean, I'm not in a cynical, jaded way that like Caitlin is, but you really did treat us like art directors, and there were a lot of times that we were talking about, colors, the landscape that you see behind you, the road, the film strip. And we're thinking, oh wait, we don't want to make it overly complicated. We don't want it to like triple in cost, of course. We have a budget, and we also don't want to waste your time. We want to be respectful, good partners, all that. But so sometimes we were reluctant to send you stuff like, oh, is this too much? So some of the color ideas, and then you're like, oh, this is awesome. In fact, pretty much everything we sent you, are I conceptually, aesthetically, you pretty much grasped right away. And let me just say, if anybody's looking to hire Caitlin Kuwald, like you delivered,
Hey.
hello there, you delivered everything ahead of schedule, or not that there was really a schedule, but earlier than we ever expected it. And we kind of joked, I think, even with you, that like there would be the end of the day, the Friday drops, and and of course you're on a different time zone, so it would be
Well,
early in
Aaron would text me and go, Caitlin email, and we'd look and it
the
was like,
Wow, you guys are
it was
so
like, but
special.
I mean, but it wasn't
Oh,
just
it
the
felt
fact that you
great.
got it done, but you were like checking in and saying, oh, hey, and the steps in the process where you're like, okay, I need, give me an idea of where you want this to go. Here's six options, and tell me, which is, for our benefit, but it's really for your benefit because you don't want to be going down the wrong road and then have to backtrack. And so
Yeah,
it
well,
was
if you
kind of,
do
it
this
was,
long enough, you start to like, you also know, I know really well what I need from people, and also that I know how to kind of get information out of people that they may not know they need to give me, because I know, I like know what I'm gonna need later.
So that's what, that's the whole point here is that anyone, I mean, not anyone, but there's a lot of people that have artistic talent, but in terms of, interpreting what a client wants and knowing what questions to ask and knowing that's just a whole, and I think that's personality and that's work ethic and that's just experience. And all three of those things you've got going. And so that was, so like Aaron said, if y'all need an illustrator, y'all need to be hitting up Caitlin, because she got the goods and really is the, that is the, that's the site. That's everything is based on that. And it really did turn out better than I could have ever imagined. The
Oh, I'm so glad you
colors,
guys love it.
I
Gorgeous.
mean, it's gorgeous. It's everyone who's seen it. I actually just sent the website to another movie friend today. He texted me about someone we'll talk about here in a minute, and I checked in to see how he was doing, and he was asking how I was doing, and which is typically what happens when someone dies, and we were just making sure everybody was okay. And then he was like, "Hey, I noticed that you've got this new thing going on." He's like, "What was the website again?" And I sent it to him, and he was like, "Okay, that looks stunning." So it's just, you know, it really does grab people's attention, and it's just nice to look at.
I could even tell just working on it, because I've been doing a lot of web development the last couple months. And once we push your design over, your graphics over, just being in that environment was like, it made me cheery because it's such
No, I know,
a
because
pleasant
before
place.
it was pretty depressing.
Yeah, it was just orange
It's
for a
like
while. And
we're like, oh God, our website, and then the illustration goes in, and we're like, oh God, this is like, maybe my depression will go away now.
And when I said I made the sky theme, I didn't. What I did is I put the mountains in it because it was previously just like a gradient, and the mountains. Well, they've been on other parts of the website, like the footer, and we're still adding stuff because you know the business concept. We're going to be bringing people on, so there'll be some guides sections on the homepage. We kind of have an idea what real estate will occupy where. There'll be some community stuff, some community tools. Actually, we're going to put that in the footer. And social media, that's pretty important these days. We're gonna have that on the homepage and really lean into that too, because it's a film website, and Letterboxd is gonna be one of our big ones. So yeah, it's so anyway, I guess we should. What do you think of the website? Given that it's your drawing.
Oh, I love it. I think it looks great. And I know it's gonna, you know, it'll probably, the website's gonna keep changing and evolving. I mean, like any good business, you got stuff, you know, that will expand and grow. No, I think it looks wonderful.
The
I'm
design, I
really happy
think,
with it.
will stay the same. And you notice, and everybody who is has been there, this is the person responsible for that lovely illustration at the top of the homepage, and we're going to keep that there. I can't think of, that's just very welcoming, I think. So, but yeah, we'll change some other things. For example, you're sitting in front of your drawing, literally, there's a painting behind her. So, like, we might even carve out, like, say, I'm just pointing here, some of those rock structures or something, use those as dividers. So we'll play with it a little bit,
Yeah, I
but
love
yeah.
that. That's great.
Well, that was the whole concept, is that we have all these components of this larger illustration that we can use for branding or use at, you know, and you provided us with everything we need on that. So the fact that we can incorporate that in all facets of the website, it just really does look lovely. And we've started to like put together like little merchy type things. So like we have like a little sticker.
Oh,
I
see,
totally sticker blocked you. I'm so
you
sorry.
sticker
Sticker
block.
block. And then,
But
oh, we've got like this little like mug, you know, just, oh, and a
and I'm wearing a t-shirt.
variation with a
Yeah,
blue
I love the
head.
tie-dye. I think that looks great.
yeah, this was a limited thing we just did for our OGs, so I don't know if we'll offer this again, but the one thing is we have lots of
Yeah,
options.
we gotta hook Caitlin up with a shirt. So we're
Yeah,
gonna make that
hey.
happen.
Yeah, well,
We're gonna
why,
make that
man, we're
happen.
so inconsiderate. So anyway, before we get too far, you did touch on something we did want to mention that is a little more serious than what we've been talking about. So for those who don't know Lee Gambin, he is Australian. I believe he's lived in Australia. I don't remember. I think it's I think it's Sydney,
Melbourne.
actually. Is it Melbourne?
Oh,
Okay.
was it? I thought it was Melbourne, but I
It
may be
might
wrong
be.
about that.
It's a big country. But
Mm-hmm.
Lee, unfortunately, as we're recording this on the 23rd of May, and he apparently passed this morning away from, and I don't like to give the cause of death, but with somebody, he was a relatively young person. He's around our age, which is too young. We don't,
Yeah, he's my age. He's 44. And so that's kind of creepy that that happened. And I honestly thought the first thing I thought, I won't even say what the first thing I thought, because when someone dies young, but apparently it was a heart attack that just kind of,
And that's why I want, yeah, I usually you wouldn't share that. It's not our business really, but I don't know personally, what his health situation was, and it's not my business either. But just reminds you, we go to a cardiologist, get checked out. That's my And I, he might have, sometimes that's out of your control, genetics. But he's really any physical media. I don't think he's done anything with Criterion, but he's done a lot with,
No.
like Arrow and Indicator and Imprint,
Pheno, and yeah, he's done a lot of essays and audio commentaries, and I never actually I didn't know him, but I knew of him, and we had a lot of mutuals, and of course I've seen his work, and he's just all over these releases. And so it's been a really tough year or so for this little film community, because we lost Carrie Beecham, and we
Boardwell, yes.
lost David Bordwell and Bobby Rivers, and I know I'm forgetting someone, but it's like the last 6 months has been pretty tough for folks. So anyways, that was kind of a bummer news to hear that today. And I think it was, I don't think it was like he had a problem. I think it was like a Steve Albini situation where he just like a widowmaker,
And he has so much energy. He's so funny. So I didn't. I'm. I have never met him in person. I don't get out to Australia really ever in my life. So maybe one day. But he's super. He's present tense. He was super funny and kind of had a cheeky sense of humor. He used to just write random things, and he would incorporate the word darst, so in a very, very funny way. So he was very much his unique individual, and loved movies. And one thing I saw from Andrew, who we had on the podcast,
Andrew
is
Pierce,
that Andrew Pearce, who's on he actually now the co-chair of the Australia Film Critics, is that he Andrew loves Mac and Me, and he talked about that on our podcast, and Lee totally got that, and so my first thought was like he's the least gatekeeping film academic I've met. He just loved film and was a champion. So yeah, anyway, we just wanted to give a little tribute. I'll try to watch one of his commentaries over the weekend. But yeah, big loss for the entire community. So rest in peace, Lee. And I'm sorry, Caitlin, we just had to mention
Oh,
that.
no. Womp womp. So it's like so sad.
It is, yeah.
So okay, we should. All right, is it time to get into Scribbles?
Yeah,
Did we cover everything?
I think we need to do some screwball comedies. So,
Yeah. Okay. So all right. So we've got Screwball Comedies. We did. This was our. Was this our. I feel like this was our second journey that we did when we were kind of just, slowly launching, kind of in that beta period, And so we had, let's see, Libeled Lady, To Be or Not to Be. We did What's Up, Doc? I'm trying to think what else
My
we
Favorite
did.
Wife, and then The Awful Truth was, well, with Irene Dunne, we kind of
Yeah.
availability is really a tough thing, as you can imagine.
Yes.
And so some people could
Yeah.
access some Irene Dunne
We did Bringing
films,
Up Baby too.
Bringing Up Baby. So The Awful Truth we worked in a little bit, My Favorite Wife,
Trying
and
to
then What's Up,
remember
Doc?
if there was another one that I'm missing.
Well,
Well,
the
anyways, it was a huge success, and there were
fun.
some folks had seen, had seen most of the movies, but we actually had a lot of new to these, which is always
That's
exciting.
good.
Even like Bringing Up Baby was one that some hadn't seen, which I mean, I think I'm like jealous
Really?
that they got to see it. I know.
Yeah,
And like
I
jealous
know.
that they got to see it for the first time. So that's always kind of a fun experience to see people, have that, but one of the things when we were going through the that journey, and I believe we were still working with you on this illustration, and so we talked about the covers that you've done for Criterion, and specifically we discussed The Awful Truth and To Be or Not to Be, which may be my favorite cover, but I love all of them. But the To Be or Not to Be is so like kind of in your face, and it's perfect too. Like it and if you
Yes.
don't know what the movie's about, you're like, what is going on here? So it's a perfect, it's just so clever and very direct, and I love it. I love it, love it. So we talked a lot about that, and people thought it was super cool that like, oh hey, we have this amazing illustrator that's made these awesome covers, doing the same for us. So it was just a lot of fun. But the covers that you did for them, we did Clooney Brown, is one you've done. Here Comes Mr. Jordan, which is not really screwball, but it's more of a supernatural
That's
heaven
funny. Weird.
comedy.
Heaven
There's
comedy.
like a
I got a couple
subgenre.
of those. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
There is like a very specific subgenre
It's a strange subgenre, but
of
yeah.
heaven
Heaven can wait.
stuff.
Well, and you did the other Heaven Can Wait too.
Well, that's right. But I mean, there's like a handful of movies where like someone dies and they get sent back, or they're caught in between the two
Yeah.
realms. It's like
A matter of life and death,
real
of course.
specific matter of life and death. And then Heaven Can Wait, great Ernst Lubitsch, and then To Be or Not to Be. So first of all, I'm going to ask you, what was your favorite, personal favorite of those covers? And second of all, well, answer the first one first. We'll go with that.
Okay. I mean, it's probably it probably is between To Be or Not to Be and The Awful Truth for different reasons. Like, I like The Awful Truth was really fun because I like drawing those people and I love the fashion in that so much. And I got to do like the best three hats that she wore and the best three outfits that she wore. So that was
Oh
really
yeah.
fun. And I liked how he did. There's like the spread in the middle where the dog is in between them, and they're both on either side, like calling the dog to see who the dog chooses in the divorce.
Right,
And
right.
it's like a fold out with the dog in the middle. And I just thought that that was really sweet and
Yeah.
like worked out really well. So the whole package of that one I think was great. And I also like that it's really simple and that there's just the black and white figures and there's a flat color. And I think Eric, the art director, did a really good job with just the text and just the drawing and
Yeah.
like left it like at that. I thought it was very classy. And the To Be or Not to Be one I love mostly because I was trying to do something other than just drawing likenesses, portraits of characters, because that's usually what I was hired for them, which I can do and well, and but it's not really my favorite thing to do. Like it's kind of a pain in the ass, like, because especially when it's someone like Cary Grant, you're like, ooh, like this has to be perfect. And
Yeah,
he has
you can't do Cary Grant dirty. And I've
no,
seen
and you got to get that
plenty.
look.
Yeah, I've
just
seen plenty
right.
of people who have done him dirty, and I'm like, his ghost is gonna his looks were everything to him. His ghost is gonna murder you in your
Yeah,
sleep.
and
So
you
you
know,
did
it
a
took.
great job with that one,
Thank
by the way.
you. Well, and they hired me to essentially, they thought I was going to be doing portraits on the cover of To Be or Not to Be. And I was like, every time after a certain point, I was like, but what if we didn't? And I did this. And when we came up with that idea, it was really hard to get the higher ups to approve it. And I
I
had to,
was
like,
wondering.
And we had to, I had to do a lot of tests where we did different skulls to see which one was the right skull, which was like not too cute and not too scary and not too stylized. And so we had to sell it, but they took it. It was the only one where I've ever succeeded in that. The rest of them, they're like, nope, we want faces. And so.
I think he succeeded because I think the film itself really navigates some murky, I mean, really tragic, horrific material very, very well. I mean, you can't have this one guy, I'm not even going to say his name, but this evil individual, and you don't want to draw him on a cover. So I think that your visual representation of the film, I mean, it was I'm not going to say cute, but you know, obviously a skull there, you know, it was. And there was a little playfulness to it.
Well,
So I
there's a
thought it fit
double
the film.
meaning there. I mean, we're
Right.
talking about the in the film is, performance of Hamlet. And so you have this, you think about the skull, but then you also think about what's happening in Europe at the time and what that individual
In
was doing
Poland.
to people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of a, but I mean, it's a bit irreverent, but so is the movie. And so
Yeah.
it just really, I think I honestly, it's like a top five cover in the entire collection.
I
Oh,
agree. Thanks.
because it just everything, and you have to have seen the movie to get it, but it's enough of a what in the world that if you haven't seen it, that it makes you want to watch it. So,
Yeah.
you think back to those days where you're walking in the in a video store and you don't know what to look for because there's no there's no internet or whatever. And so half of what you pick in the video store is you're based on the cover, right?
Or
And
you're
so
traumatized because you see the
that's
cover for
right.
Ghoulies and you think that monsters
Yes.
are going to come out of
Right.
your toilet in
Yes.
the
I mean
80s.
that I think kids today don't realize
No.
like that. I mean, or seeing like the cover for 9 and a half weeks and being like, what's this? So I think about that and I go, wow, if that had been sitting on the shelf, in a video store, I would have been like, what in the world is this? I have to get it. So, and that really, and I kind of wonder too, do these deep, Blu-ray labels, do they think that? Do they think, oh, are people gonna be like, not just, oh, this looks good, but is it going to draw someone in who hasn't seen the film?
It's a good question.
I hope they do, because I think that's really, I mean, I know no one's browsing it in a store, but I mean, but still, I think that that really is a basically, you captured the film, and you also were like, hey, if you don't know what's up with this, check it out. This movie's weird. So that's cool. I'm glad that you won that fight because I do every time I see it, I go, okay, this is a little gutsy,
Oh,
that it's on
and
there.
Eric really wants to do that kind of stuff. I think
Yeah.
it's like it's hard when there's so in any job, illustration job, but if there's something like where it's a bigger company and you have all these people weighing in, you have to satisfy
Right.
everybody.
So speaking of that, let's talk about the Clooney Brown cover. So when that came out, was this 2017, I think, maybe?
It's
I
been a
can't
while.
remember. It's been a minute.
It was like pre-COVID, so it's all a blur.
Yeah, and this is a movie that had long kind of been languishing in rights issues, and like it hadn't really been on TCM or whatever for whatever reason. And then I think there was a restoration, and then like TCM aired it, and like new audiences were seeing it, and then Criterion comes out with this. And so when the film came out, it's such a weird movie. It's just
It is
really,
really
really,
weird.
really
Oh.
weird. And but it came out, everybody
Even
was
the
really,
premise is weird. I remember when you
yeah,
were telling me
it's
that, I was like,
just,
what?
yeah,
Okay.
it's the whole, like, it's just a bizarro movie. It's good, but it's just
Great,
like you
yeah.
really, I mean, it's kind of a deep cut.
It
But when
is.
this came out, there were some, keyboard warriors on the
Yeah,
internet,
there was
and
some
they
turmoil.
didn't, there were some, yeah, they did not like the cover. And
What was the deal? Would they think it was too boring, or like there wasn't enough going on, or?
I don't think it was really about you, because I mean, I don't, I think most people that buy Criterions don't really look at the cover artist. No, no offense. The
Like
diehards
the credits.
value it,
The
right? The
credits
credit.
in the
You know,
yeah.
they're looking at the special features. You're credited at the bottom, so we the collectors get to know you as we have. But I think that there was a first reveal with sort of like a reddish background, if I remember. And you kind of did like a Rosie the Riveter kind of thing with the character, which I thought was really clever and cool. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I mean, that's kind of what her thing was. And there was some weird vitriol. People take covers really seriously. It's like, come on, people. There
I
are more
know.
important things in life. I'm more, we're just talking about a movie about Nazis, it's and then it changed. So I think I'm guessing that some of the higher ups intervened, and it might have been because of those keyboard warriors. But I like the black and white with the circle. I mean, that's almost like a Looney Tunes, speaking
I
of
was
which.
just about to say, it looks a little like the, it reminds me
That's
of
all,
those, like,
folks.
yeah, the black and white Porky Pig, those early ones, like it kind of, that was the very first thing. And I'm thinking this movie's wackadoo. So I don't know if like that was going, but like that was my first thing was, oh, this looks Looney Tunes, and this movie is Looney Tune. Like, so
Yeah.
it, I think it worked really, really well. But
I mean,
so,
it wasn't like when everything changed, I didn't have anything to do with that. Like I had kind of done the art,
right.
and Eric was like, I think we're gonna do this. What if we change it like this? And so he'd like check in with me and talk to me about what they were thinking. I got the impression that they just were having a really hard time nailing down the vibe that they wanted the movie, the cover, to have.
Yeah.
And
That makes sense.
And so I don't know. I mean, and I like where it ended up better than where it was. Like, I actually didn't really like with it, because there was like a wallpaper and some other stuff, and it
Yeah,
was
a
fine. It
pattern.
just, yeah, it felt a bit busy. And I think the newer solution's better, though I think that it almost is a little, maybe not busy enough, because it's not very catchy. Like, I wish that there was like a touch of color or something, but like it makes the
Well,
illustration like more prominent, which I'm always fine with, but.
having worked
Well,
with you though, I think we have a better understanding, Jill. Like, because you gave us the art, that we worked on this concept for, probably 6, 8 weeks, I'm guessing. And then it was up to us to do something with it. So you didn't say, okay, well, here's your art, and your website has to be exactly like this. So do you think that's kind of what happened?
I mean, the art director generally is the designer of whatever it is that we're making. So in the case of the Criterions, it's relatively collaborative. Like, I think some of them more than others, like the To Be or Not to Be was really collaborative, in that I like gave him all these different color options, and he was giving me all these different text options, and we were like playing around with like which, how the colors would work with the font and all this stuff. And it was a lot of back and forth. And I'm used to that with him, and I think in this one it just seemed like there was other stuff going on, and a lot of like decisions were being made that were like not really his decisions, and which is it's fine. Like once I'm done with the thing, I'm like, here, like do what you want to do with it. And especially with someone like him, I trust him to do whatever he's going to do
Well,
with it.
I think some people don't realize, and this, and we, I, you know, we were talking before we started recording, and this is not just true with an illustrator. This is true with anyone that is, you know, freelancer or contractor that's working with someone else that's going to take what you offer them and apply it to wherever they need it. So when I used to write scripts for Turner Classic Movies, and I so these were scripts for their hosts. So I write all of this stuff up and I send it, but it may not end up on screen the way I wrote it. And I know some people that would get so upset that the script that they delivered was not being read verbatim. And that's just not how it works because, you know, maybe, you know, legal gets a hold of it and says, you know, we can't say this, or, you know, they fact check, you know, which happens, and maybe you get something wrong, so they change that. And then by the time it makes it through all of these people, and then it's in front of the host, the host looks at this and says, I'm not saying that, or I'm gonna say this instead, or I'm gonna ad lib this part. I mean, I've watched them, they're over at the teleprompter and they're telling the person, put this in, put this in, put this in. So, you know, at a certain point when you relinquish, you know, when you're working for someone else and then you get to the point where you go, okay, here is the work I've submitted, it's out of your hands at that point. So it's important that I think people understand that when we're talking about, you know, a published piece, you know, with a, you know, on a website, or, you know, a cover for a Blu-ray or commentary, or, you know, it goes through many hands and it is a very collaborative thing. And there's never one person who is, oh, well, this is, you know, so all the ire that people were throwing in your general direction was, you know, frankly, it was bullshit. So people need to chill.
I mean, like I know what my job is and I understand how illustration works, and it's like I'm not. If I was a fine artist and I wanted to just create things and say, this is exactly how it is, and no one else is going to touch it, and it's going to hang on the wall like this exactly like forever, then I would do that. But like, it's always a collaborative process from the
That's
beginning to
right.
the end. And I'm very well aware of that. And if a lot of people don't really understand what illustration actually is,
That is
and
very
I'm used to
true.
that at this
Even
point,
us,
so, you
until
know.
I think we have a lot better understanding having worked with you, and also understanding the challenges. And yeah, I'm glad you didn't lose sleep over some keyboard warriors. I mean, honestly, that's why we built this thing, is because we wanted a place where people are going to be more positive. And in fact, if that were on our that discussion on our platform, we probably would have shut it down, because we know that it's not your fault. Who really, there's going to be six more
Well,
announcements next
it
month.
just
Yeah,
seems
move
like a
on.
bunch of like wasted energy,
Yeah.
frankly.
It really is. And the only reason why we bring it up is because, frankly, I like the cover
I do too.
and I
Yeah.
like
And I
the
like the
illustration.
movie. Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, half these people probably haven't even seen the movie. And I'm like, look, y'all, watch this movie because it's wacky and the cover matches it. And so I think, you know, so we wanted to bring it up just so we could be like, all right, you know, we don't want to hear this anymore and everybody needs to shut up. So, and you know, also that, you know, oh yeah, I love that. And also that there's real people behind this. And so, and yeah, I mean, maybe not everything is to your taste. I think the world would be pretty boring if everybody liked the same thing. So,
So funny.
yeah,
Sorry,
so
I'm holding up Awful Truth cut out.
it's a gr I mean, it's great.
And that's one thing with our journey is, I kind of really, I'm not, I've always been a fan, but really we focus on Irene Dunne a lot. And And I think you really nailed the, she's almost like a stick figure in this, and I don't mean that in a bad way, not an amateur drawing, but she's very thin, but it kind of just highlights her face and the hat, which is in Jill's background, the same outfit. And she's just so irreverent and carefree, and she's just such a fun. I know you don't love drawing people, but it feels like she would be a
Oh,
fun person to
no, I
draw.
do. No, all I ever want to do is draw people. I think it's just like the pressure of the like perfect portrait is a lot. And I do so many other things. And I also have, the way I'm doing people these days is like not necessarily as realistic. And so it was kind of feels like going back to a time when I was doing more realistic portraiture. So it's the like intense realism that's the thing that can like and I don't dislike it. I just like don't want it to be the only thing that I do. That makes
I
sense.
love the outfit on the cover. That is one of my favorites that she
Me too.
wears.
Those like
Because I'm
white,
like,
like spirally kind
yes, little
of
spirals.
things.
And she's like,
So
and
cool.
the pants are so long. You're like, is she gonna like totally trip and fall? Like, and the fact that this is just like her lounging around the house outfit, like, what is this? It's amazing. So it's yeah, and this moment. Wait, this way that Carrie's being so smug. Yeah, I love all of this artwork. I mean,
Yeah, he
this is
makes
a
some really good
dream.
faces in that movie.
Yeah,
And I
I mean,
love
in
the
every
side
movie.
eye.
What
You,
am I saying? Yeah,
yeah, the side eye
right
at the
there, the
cover.
picture there, Aaron, of him where he's grinning, which is like right after this part in my where he's just like taking so much pleasure
There's a
in
little
the
side
having
eye
her
there
pants.
too. And then on the cover itself, we have to put this on video because Cary Grant giving side eye to I mean that is a great encapsulation of the movie. I mean, Cary Grant being annoyed by Irene Dunne and I mean their characters and her shenanigans. I mean, but also pining for her too. So, and I think it's a wonderful movie. One thing I've noticed, Caitlin, is you kind of at least with Criterion, I can't think of other covers you've done in this vein, but you seem to be pigeonholed as like screwball and not that you be not pigeonholed or illustrated, but you seem to they've gone to you for a lot of screwball comedies, and actually they're overdue. You haven't done one in a while, have you?
No, well, I think what happened is no one, all of a sudden all of these illustrators have been like reaching out trying to get covers, and now he has like this amazing array of people like to work with. I mean, I get it. I think Eric does a really good job at picking things for me that like suit me. And part of that tends to be older things that have relatively specific looks. It tends to be stuff that has a lot of, I mean, I'm really drawn to fashion, so if I can get into like fashion stuff or like or cost the costuming being really interesting and patterning and like shapes of clothing and things like that. And even way back from like, doing an Armacord cover, like that was like for me was all about those people and their outfits and like the Fellini look and all that stuff. So I mean, I think also they like to kind of keep certain, I mean, they do, other artists are the same way. Like there's like Yuko's Shimizu, who's done a lot of like she does brushwork and it tends to be like Japanese films, and she has a really specific look with that, so they've kind of put her into that category. I mean, I think it's also a way to categorize the movies at Criterion in general, because it's like, oh, okay, you see that person and you know it's going to be one of these kind of films. I mean, I think it's kind of cool.
I think your text chain is probably these other illustrators saying, like, where's my cover? Where's my cover, right?
My God, yeah. Well, listen, if anybody from Criterion is listening, let's get Caitlin another cover. And this may be my way of saying put George Stevens, The Talk of the Town, out on Blu-ray
That's
so
a
that
good fit.
she can get some more Cary Grant action going on.
Sure.
And that's
Great.
another really weird movie that's kind of a comedy, but not, I don't even know how to classify that movie. But let's get that out in the collection and let's get Caitlin drawing it.
It's
Let's go,
got me to
yeah.
do other like I've done other like posters for like personal poster groups, where they have a bunch of people who pool their money together to make like an a different cover for a film and like a poster that so I did a Grand Budapest Hotel and I did
Oh,
Hey
fun.
Betty and I did Harold and Maude for like those kind of groups, so that
Oh,
was really
yeah. Oh,
fun.
cool. That's cool. That's cool.
Who is
Well,
that?
that was my cat Levon. So
Hi,
he's
Levon.
pretty famous in our circles. You didn't really get the full picture because of the background, but he's massive. He's a
No,
cartoon.
I saw that.
Maybe you could
Yeah.
I'll send you a video later that's hilarious. Maybe you could draw him
You need
someday.
to
That'd
hire
be fun.
Caitlin to draw like a massive like mural of Levon.
This is
Sure.
a little digression, but we found an Instagram with a cat that has 14,000 followers and it looks identical to Levon. And we're like, oh
Are you
my
sure it's
word.
not Levon? Because maybe Levon's
I
been,
mean, that's what I'm
stepping out on
telling
you.
you. He's in there on his phone.
Now this cat is too nice. Levon's kind of a butthead, but we're like, okay, we could have made gotten cat social media. That could have been
Yeah, well,
our
every time I see
company.
Aaron, he's like, I promise you, everything's fine. Levon attacked me. And there'll be like just claw marks like all over his arms. I'm like, are you sure, Aaron? Do we need to have a talk? Like, he's like, no, I'm not
He
shooting
bites
up
well,
heroin.
like an not in a this is like probably what a lot of people that are in rough relationships say, but like he's one of those you have to pet through the bites. So
No, he
speaking of
always
nine
says
and a half
sorry
weeks,
afterwards. Yeah, you are
yeah. No, he doesn't
100%
feel
in an
sorry.
abusive relationship with your
Yeah.
cat.
I
And
need to
then he
find a
comes to
therapist.
you, he
There's
brings
help.
you fl
There's
yeah,
help.
there
Thanks,
is help
Caitlin. Yeah.
out
We'll
of
hear
the
this. We can give you
bathroom.
some numbers in the
Yeah.
podcast
Oh.
notes. We'll leave some phone numbers for anybody else who's,
That's
in an
right.
abusive relationship with a cat.
That's right.
Actually,
Go
we
into
might
the
hire you to draw
Aaron, if
Levon.
you go
He's
into the
funny.
bathroom, there's always like a sign up, that tells you like, to I'm just saying, listen, if you if you've got this cat and you say you have to pet through the bites, it's like no, he's like he brings you flowers and then like the next
Never.
day
Yeah. I should call one of those numbers and be like, okay, my cat scratches me. And of course they're gonna be like, well,
elder
just
abuse
stop. Just
hotline.
stop.
That's
Put him in a carrier or something. So
feline abuse
anyway.
hotline.
Anyway, Caitlin,
Ugh.
yeah, I'm pretty certain we'll work with you again. Hopefully sooner
Great.
rather than later. I know you have a lot going on. But it's been a pleasure working with you. I mean, really, I think Jill, I think we had like a great experience. Like a very precious experience working with Caitlin, having known you and been following you through your career. I've mentioned your cafe to a friend in Milan. Not your cafe,
Oh
your
yeah. No,
pinball machine.
my
And she'd never been there, and I'm like, well, what's wrong? Why not?
I've never been there.
Yeah, well, one
Got to
day
get
I'll
my
go to
butt over
Milan.
there. We're
Yeah,
still
well.
gonna call it your cafe.
We
Thank
are.
you.
We're gonna walk in, and it's for those that don't know, it's the Wes Anderson Cafe, and you did the a really beautiful illustration of a pinball machine, right? And
Yeah, that was so fun.
I bet it had to be,
It
but
was I like take little pictures of my Wes Anderson email when he like sent me his like an email and I'm
nice, nice. Yeah. So, but yeah, great talking to you. Great working with you. I mean, I think it was really a wonderful partnership, and yeah, we'll resume
Agreed.
it sometime soon.
Awesome. I'm so glad. Yeah.
So
Well, thank
Caitlin,
you guys.
where can
Yeah, of
people
course.
find you? I know your website.
Yeah, CaitlinCool.com, and I'm at CaitlinCool on everything, though I haven't been posting on Instagram lately because
We get it. We get
I
it.
feel
Yeah.
I don't know what's
We'll
happening
put
there,
some
but
links in there, yeah. But you do have a lovely yeah, you've written drawn books too.
it's been a long
So
week. Lots of
it's
children's
been
books. Hey,
yeah.
Caitlin,
Yeah.
you do draw good, real
You draw
good.
good.
You draw
Thanks.
real good.
Put that on your
I
resume
know that
or
feeling.
your
Yeah.
portfolio. But no, it's great talking to you. And I think we have some fun things coming. So, and actually you're really our first podcast guest post launch. So,
Look at
we
me.
could have talked to you in the last 3 months, but we wanted to save it for a special occasion. And
Awesome.
we're expecting a lot of fun, a lot of exciting things. And speaking of school comedies, we have the Coen Brothers Screwball Comedies that's starting in June. I think the first call is June 9th. And that's kind of a spiritual sequel to the other ones we visited. So I don't know if you're a Coen Brothers fan, but
Of course.
yeah. So
Well,
do you see the through line?
oh, sorry.
Yes.
No, we had done before, was it before Screwballs? We did a Noirvember,
Yeah,
and
that was our first one.
we put Big Lebowski on the Noirvember as a neo-noir, and which, I mean, it is, but it also is a screwball comedy, and it's also many things. And so we're talking and we're like, you know what? The Coens made a lot of screwballs. And so we decided, okay, let's make it happen. So we won't be doing Big Lebowski again because we just did it, but I'm sure we'll talk about it. And and we're not doing all of them, but you know,
There's a
it'll
lot.
be fun. There's a
Yeah, we're
lot.
doing like six, and then we have some optional ones, including the new one, which is not the brothers, it's just one brother, but Driveway Dolls. And I did put Big Lebowski in the optional because who doesn't want to talk about Lebowski? And one thing the Coens have done is they've incorporated Screwball into just their other genre picks. So not everyone is a textbook Screwball comedy, but they don't have to be. It's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, we'll
Cool.
maybe one day we'll get you a cover of a Coen's
Oh, I'd
Blu-ray
love that.
special edition. So
I could see you doing some really funky stuff with like Raising Arizona and like the Randall Tex Cobb, headhunter guy. Like I could see
the
some
motorcycle
really,
guy,
oh yeah, some really weird
or the
stuff
Brad
there.
Pitt cyclist in Burn
Yeah, in
After
Burn
Reading
After
it.
Reading.
It's going to be a fun exercise, but great talking to you. And by the time this comes out, we'll probably have a demo. The website is magnificent, and the back end, most people haven't seen it, is pretty robust. We're very, very pleased with this journey that we're
Back
going
end,
on.
our
So
back end is robust. Yes. Wow,
chill.
guys.
That's our partnership, our working relationship. I say inappropriate things and she points them out of context, and she brings them in
Makes them
that
worse.
context. Yeah.
Yeah, I
So
do.
that's quite a
Caitlin, I
skill.
do. I make things worse.
No.
I
Okay, I'm gonna get in
feel
trouble, but no, great,
Oh my
great seeing you
God.
and talking to you,
There's
Caitlin.
no
And
HR here. No HR. We don't have to
you're
worry
right.
about that.
You're right. Yeah. I'm feeling a little toxic workplace, Jill. We'll have to call an HR firm. No. We resolve our problems. We don't have any problems. But we have just too much fun. We tell each other jokes.
Keep going now.
But great talking to you. And
You too.
we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you.